Welcome to the Business Benchmark Group podcast, where you'll learn how to think strategically about your business and discover that while business is not easy, it doesn't need to be hard. With over 20 years experience in turning stalling businesses into thriving enterprises, here is your host, Stefan Kazakis, the founder and CEO of Business Benchmark Group.
Welcome to another episode of Business Benchmark Group podcast, where we dive deep into the stories of visionaries who are reshaping industries and leaving an incredible mark on the business world. I'm your host, Stefan Kazakis, and today we have an extraordinary guest with us. Today we're thrilled to introduce you to the driving force behind Tradie Wraps, the one and only Matthew Adams. Matthew's journey is nothing short of remarkable, creating a business rooted in family heritage, inspired by a family member's pioneering spirit in vehicle branding, a legacy that shapes Matthew Adams and his thriving business today. Specializing in custom vehicle graphics, Tradie Wraps has become the go-to choice for professional tradies seeking to keep their image fresh and relevant to their clients. Adapting to emerging technologies and market demands, Matthew has evolved Tradie Wraps into a true powerhouse and forerunner in his field. In this episode, we'll explore Matthew's unique perspective for through years of hands-on experience, not only in running a business, but also his technology-driven approach that sets Tradie Wraps apart and the invaluable relationships he's built along the way. Join us as we uncover the secrets behind his unwavering commitment to clients and the real-world impact he is making. Let's dive into the world of business excellence with the founder and CEO of Tradie Wraps, Matthew Adams. For those listening, Matthew, who don't know you, tell us a snapshot of who you are and what a day in the life of you, Matthew Adams, looks like.
Oh, g'day, Stefan. Thanks for the intro. That was pretty impressive. I thought, thank you for your kind words. I'm like a lot of business owners. We're juggling the business and family life. You know, I do get up at 6 a.m. in the morning. And that first little bit of day is my day before the kids get up, before I get any interruptions, just to be able to have breakfast in peace and just sort of relax and just get my mind in the right position for the day. Of course, straight after that is the mayhem of children. I've got three kids between 8 and 12. Like, you know, it's like a little cyclone goes through the place as we're trying to throw lunches together and get kids ready for school. So by the time I walk out the door just before 8 o'clock, and I'm close to work, so it's not a big trip, I'm actually glad to get out of there and get focused on something else for the day, which of course is business.
Mate, I love that. And I'm always curious to hear, you know, getting the mind right, you know, putting that time back into yourself and I guess the habits or the rituals that we go through. And again, the 6 a.m. club is pretty cool. I'm of the school of 5 a.m. club, which is a little bit extreme and a little crazy for those that go there. But in saying that, what does getting the mind right before you get into your actual day, whether it's obviously personal, which sounds pretty full on and hands on, and power to you and Sally there. But what does getting the right mind, how do you know you've got the right mind or got the mind right for the day ahead of you? What are the indicators for you? What's your traffic light system on?
There's a little bit of structure about that time, like, you know, a bit of routine, which is, you know, I go put the coffee machine on, press the buttons, get it going, get my bowl out, put my Weet-Bix in there. And then the dogs are sort of looking at me as if to say, well, we want to be fed. So that's good. I get you know, a nice greeting, best greeting you can ever get when, you know, if you've got dogs, you know. And it's just that little bit of routine, like, and the dogs do keep you to that because they know he does this, he does that, he does that. So that starts things off quite well as far as, you know, just a ritual. And then it's just a case of just, you know, deep breathing over breakfast and just not not trying to think about what have I got coming up in the day, but just trying to just sort of focus more inwardly on just relaxing and just clearing the mind. Because, you know, I know that obviously once those kids get up and then the workday starts, you know, you're not having that opportunity to do that because you've got to get focused on what you're doing.
Yeah. So again, you know, it's not exactly meditation, but it's a variant, and it's truly about getting present. I mean, that's what I just heard there, which is so important to keep you at an energized and ultimately true level for the rest of the day. Thanks for sharing that. Really, I'm always curious when people say, I love to get my head right or my mind right or get focused early in the day. I'm always curious as to what people do. So thank you for sharing that. And yes, there's nothing like the look of a dog into your eyes as to, wow, what a special bond that is. What has been your number one biggest learning in business or life? Like, I know, I mean, you're a young guy. You're not exactly, at the twilight of your life as it relates to age. But at this point, what has been your number one biggest learning in business or life, and how has it helped shape you and continue to shape you?
Yeah, I think, you know, the word resilience. I think, you know, I've just obviously discovered that, you know, over time that resilience in both business and life, you know, is going to get you to achieve things, right? If you're not resilient, well, you're going to give up on everything before you get to that sweet spot where you actually make an achievement. So, you know, there's always setbacks in business or in your family life or whatever, but if you're resilient and you're prepared to, you know, tough it out through the tough moments, you're going to be in a position where you can achieve. And I think, you know, probably from, you know, younger years to where I am now, I've over time, I've learned that that's really important.
And again, it's one of those words, isn't it? And it's an impactful word. Totally agree, Matthew. But resilience, you know, there's so many references to it. And as individuals, I know for me specifically, I have a very distinct reference to what resilience means for me. And you sort of touched on that in terms of pushing through. But when do you know that resilience is actually taking place? Like, if it's a big learning and it's an acquired learning, which means you've got the scars to prove it, when do you know that, hang on, I'm in a zone where resilience is my best friend? When do you know that's occurring for you, mate?
Yeah, so I suppose it's a bit like, you know, when you've got the option, you're either going to push through or you're going to give up. And so that is the moment that you decide, I'm going to push through. And, you know, it's not until a little bit later, depending on what you're pushing through, so how long it takes, but you will see the result of that. So it's sort of like a fork in the road. You know, am I going to go this way or am I going to go that way? Yeah.
Mate, that's really cool. And again, just coming to terms with that, you're in that resilience zone. I feel it's a sense of it's a sense of belonging. Like you are in tune with, again, going back to what we're sharing about your morning ritual, you're present to what's going through, and how you view the world, how you focus is what's actually showing up. You know, the whole push through thing that you just referenced for resilience, if you focus on push through, then that's going to show up. If you focus on, you know, well, this defines me, or this issue or challenge or obstacle is what's going on here, well, if you focus on that and not the push through, well, then that's where you'll stay. So it is a highly used reference, the reference to resilience. But I feel experience and the scars that has you understanding when you're in that zone makes that your best friend. And it's almost a trust. It's a trusting you have with yourself when resilience is one of your biggest learnings. You know that you've been here and you've pushed through, and this doesn't define you. So really,
it's also like having, you know, keeping a focus on what your goal is. So, like, you know, when you have a goal that's, you know, in the future, well, there's going to be speed humps that you have to cross. So you've just got to, if you focus on the goal, you realize that whatever you're facing right now is just another speed hump that you've got to get over to achieve that goal. So, you know, having that future focus certainly helps with resilience, because if you take your focus off where you're headed, well, then that's when you're going to throw the towel in because you're just faced with a problem.
Actually, really cool. You just sparked a little bit of a blinding flash for me in my mind. Just if you were to describe the feeling of that moment when you ultimately, okay, I'm facing an issue, I've got a challenge, I've got an obstacle, I'm going to push through. That's a commitment. That's my focus. I'm going to push through. And then you get to that other side, Matthew. And it happens in business. It happens in life. It happens, right? If you can describe what it feels like on the other side of a push through, what does that in your words feel like? When you push through.
Yeah, well, it's just, I mean, just prior to the, before you decide you've got to push through, well, you know, every business owner's, you know, said, you know, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? I hate this business. I hate this part of my life, whatever. And then you make that decision to push through and you get to the other side of it. And just the feeling of freedom, the feeling of, you know, achievement, it's like you've just climbed Mount Everest. And now you can get on with the journey on the other side. And you know, you've learned so much through that, that, you know, that helps you not end up in that situation again. So it's just a feeling of empowerment, knowledge, freedom, all of those things.
And also, again, trusting yourself that you have picked the right fork in the road. And thank you for sharing that, because, you know, when we talk about your biggest learning in life or business thus far, what we've just certainly just tapped into there is a learning, and it's powerful. It's powerful to know that you have a choice not to be stuck. It's powerful to know that whatever you focus on and wish to achieve and or break through from, you can. Love that. Well done. Hey, Matt, what strategies have you, applied or employed to build and maintain a strong customer base? I mean, Tradie Wraps in your part of the world is a go-to business. I mean, we meet business owners far and wide between that are customers of yours every single week. And, you know, you have an impeccable reputation. But what strategies did you employ to build and maintain that strong customer base and most importantly, that strong customer loyalty in a very competitive field of custom vehicle graphics in doing your what we call Tradie Wraps?
Yeah. I mean, well, obviously we've got our marketing strategies to, you know, gain the customers, but, you know, once you've got them, it's, you know, whether you're turning them from a single transaction to a lifelong customer is the key. And, you know, we try to, you know, customer engagement is something that we're really big on, because we see our customers as more than just, oh, someone wants a vehicle wrap, but they're also fellow business owners. And so for us to, you know, engage at a level that we're actually all interested in and, you know, discussing our businesses and sort of what works and what doesn't work well beyond a vehicle wrap, just builds rapport. And that way, you know, that we're not just a vehicle wrap, but we're actually sort of like a business partner with them in the same way as sort of we view them as well. And then there's, you know, the engagement, you know, the online engagement where we run competitions or have Wrap of the Month, which, you know, highlights some of their vehicles just to keep them engaged, give them a bit of pride in showing that we're proud of our work that we've done for them. Things like that. But it's all just about the main core of it is about just engaging with the customer and making that relationship a little bit more than just a transaction.
Yeah, mate, I love that. And in fairness, you know, when you think about, I mean, you travel you travel around the world to certainly ensure you're on the right path with your innovations, your materials, your applications. You're constantly training the team internally to be a better version as a total business. So these are absolute you know, investments that you are making because you are playing the long game here in your business. But if you think about, if we can sort of tap into why do you travel? I mean, you travel extensively, specifically to continue to educate yourself and be front of mind with what are the trends and which is the direction of the industry you're in and how it's progressively helping more business owners be better. How are you embracing that and continue to embrace that as a pivotal point as to how you run your business?
Yeah, so I mean, it's so important to us to be broad-minded as to what's going on around the world, to travel to trade shows to find what are the latest products, what are the latest install methods. But as well as going to those sort of official sources, we've built some really strong relationships with other similar and more advanced businesses, in other countries, so that we can also work together on, looking at how we do, they look at how we do things, we look at how they do things, we try to improve what we do. And it's a really good way, a really cool way of doing it, because you're just engaging with people that have, might be a little bit closer to the action as far as where products are produced. We're a bit of an outpost in Australia, so it's good to just be in touch with those people, and they can sort of see some of the trends before we see them. So we're sort of right in touch with that sort of stuff as far as being the first on board in Australia with those sort of, different trends and different training and relationships, even with the manufacturers, seeing what they're doing over there. So we can actually just ask the manufacturers, hey, we want to have this same relationship with you that you're starting to roll out in the US, for example.
Yeah, that is so, again, that is so, in my opinion, that is so committed to your craft, so committed to the journey that you are creating, not only for yourself, firstly, your team, secondly, but your customers, most importantly. And mate, power to you. Real, I mean, huge kudos goes to the person that continues to invest in how can we be better. And in fairness, people won't remember you for what you did for them, but they'll always remember you for how you made them feel.
Right.
So really cool. And then when you think about it, a typical custom vehicle graphic is, give or take $1,500, give or take, $2,000 for some and $1,000 for others. But typically it's about $1,500 and an above average standard graphic or job on a vehicle should last a minimum of 5 years, if not 7 years, depending on, again, the materials and the application that is used. So if you sort of look at it from the perspective of $1,500, let's go with 5 years, right? Divided by 60 months, I mean, it's costing you $5 a week, $1 a day to have the latest and the most innovative version of custom vehicle graphics that promotes your business on a daily basis, whether you live in the outback of Australia where there's 500 people in the town, or you're living in major cities or catchment areas where there's thousands of people on the road every day. I just think it's a no-brainer when you think about spreading the word of your business and your standards that you abide by. So, I mean, what do you have to say as it relates to what I just shared there? Like, the cost of doing what you do over the longevity of the decision is, it's a no-brainer.
Well, quite often, in my reading, business readings, and that vehicle signage is listed as one of the top three things, sort of one of the must-do things if you've got a vehicle on the road. And as far as you talk about the costs, and what you're saying there is about right. It's amazing how many small businesses will spend, thousands upon thousands of dollars on, say, Google advertising. And that's once your Google ads are gone, they're gone. And the other thing about Google ads is that you're out there with everyone else. It's like opening the yellow pages and you're seeing all these businesses. Whereas vehicle branding, when people are looking at your ad on the vehicle, that's all they're looking at. Your opposition is not behind you, not normally, and there you are. Your brand is right in front of them. It's in the area, the suburbs you're working. It's outside the house where you're working. The neighbors are seeing it. And it's just so multifaceted as to building a brand for your business, you don't want people to go to Google and search for a plumber. You want to go people to go to Google and search for Bob's Plumbing, or just straight to your website. Forget about Google all up. If your branding's good enough, and you know Google advertising has been said to be a tax for people who have poor branding. And you know, if you've got good branding on your vehicle and or vehicles, and you know your service backs it all up, you're going to go a long way with vehicle graphics, and it's a one-off spend in 5 years.
I love that. So good. Thanks for sharing a little bit more on that, because it is one of those things that if you think of it as an investor, it's a no-brainer. It's like it's almost for free when you think about it. So speaking about, again, you know, the journey and these pivotal points that make such a difference to so many trades and construction business owners throughout this region and the world, in fairness, let's come back to you. Can you share some of the, again, those very defining moments or those challenges that you may have faced in the early days, and you may still be facing them today? Because, again, 30 years in business, I'm facing challenges every day. There's no truer word spoken, right? How did you overcome them at Trade Your Apps? How did you embrace the opportunities? How did you deal with the challenges? Again, how do you go about either or of those two moments that occur in your business, early days and where you are now?
Yeah, so I mean, we used to, like, you know, most sign shops, we would try and take on anything and everything. And, you know, that was very difficult, you know, when you've got staff, they've got to have a large range of skills. Like, 1 minute you're wrapping a car, next minute you're digging holes, installing a billboard, or you might be frosting some windows somewhere. And, you know, from a skill set, that's really difficult to have. From a management position, that's really difficult to have and organize. And so when, you know, a number of years ago, when we made the decision that we're just going to focus on vehicle graphics, you know, we didn't really realize, but we've since discovered that everything goes smoother because your staff, they can focus on one set of skills and building those up. We don't have to have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of all this different stock line, the boards and posts and plastics and all this sort of stuff in stock. And the other real bonus from it was because we're dealing with, you know, in the most case, small businesses, tradies, you're basically getting paid every day. Whereas before, we're getting paid, you know, a project could go for 6 months before you got paid. So we sort of, you know, discovered a lot of the benefits from making that decision that were sort of unintended, but looking back, it's what made that decision really good.
And now it defines you.
Yeah, exactly.
And going back to your Bob's Plumbing direct search on the website, not even through Google, it's a no-brainer, right? I mean, yeah. I'm definitely not going to be coming to Tradie Wraps if I needed, you know, a front sign on my tall building, you know what I mean? Now, I might if I've got a relationship with you, but it's typically not what I would come for.
Yeah, and I mean, we will do a few of those other things. What we say is we will service the needs of our tradie customers. So yeah, sometimes they need a factory sign or something else, and you know, we service that need. So we're there to support that core group of businesses that we've chosen to work with. So yeah.
Yeah, well done on putting that in the space too. But 80-85% of what, you know, you think about McDonald's, and forget about what our thoughts on McDonald's are, good or bad. When you think about McDonald's, you think hamburgers, right? You think Big Mac. Well, that's what you think, even if that's not your favorite thing at McDonald's. You think that, you know, you're not thinking about chicken, right? You think about another location for chicken, right? So building that reputation, staying true to absolutely delivering a standard within that chosen area of specialty absolutely becomes the pathway to continued success and growth. And well done, Matthew, because again, you're one of the rare businesses in your industry that is as committed and focused as you are at Tradie Wraps to what you are building a reputation. Now, I'm not saying you're the only vehicle or custom vehicle wrapping business. But I'm saying you are the most focused, and that's a distinction, and that's going to continue to serve you, in my opinion, big time. What are you most proud of in your life? And what would you say is your, at this stage, again, this is a very powerful question, your number one legacy? What would you say is the number one thing right now that stands out more than anything else about, your most profound piece in life thus far?
Yeah, so I mean, this is more, I suppose on a personal level that I'm proud of my family, my wife and kids, and seeing them overcome, various obstacles in life. It's funny because when you're a kid, you just don't have this sort of insight, but when you're a parent and you have influence on these little people that are, could go either way in life, and you see them making some really good decisions and overcoming their own personal hurdles. There's nothing that I can be prouder about than, it's not all me, but the input that I have into that, I'm proud of that they reflect, somewhat of what I've learned in my life already in theirs. And I mean, as far as legacy, it's if those kids turn out to be well-rounded adults with the right attitudes to other people in life, well, that's a legacy that I'd be proud of completely.
Congratulations on that, mate. That's so cool. Thanks for sharing that. If you could go back to tell your 17-year-old self three things, what would they
Oh, it'd be great, wouldn't
be?
it? It would be great to get back there and give yourself a bit of a slapper in the head. Well, I think, to start looking at the future a little bit earlier than probably what I did, I think that's important because, the theory of, the further you look into the future and start planning more, the more successful you'll be in life, is really important. Probably stop chasing butterflies, settle my
What does
focus
that
on.
mean? Come on, give me more on
Well,
what does
I
that mean?
mean, as many business owners, if we like to think that we're entrepreneurs or whatever, we just getting these ideas of, oh, let's do this or let's do that, and you're not really giving any one of them the opportunity to, because you think things are going to happen quicker than they happen, so you're not giving yourself the opportunity to make anyone successful. So just actually getting a direction and focusing on it, I think it's really would be really good advice. And then the other thing that I would do is I would make sure that I learned from those that have already treaded that path. Take note of who's up ahead of where I am now and where I'm headed, and just really follow their advice and look at what they're doing right and what they've done wrong, and try and learn from that.
Mate, sage advice. Beautiful work. And you're telling your 17-year-old self three things that would have been interesting to hear how you would have responded to that as a 17-year-old. So, mate, well done. Good sharings. If you could remove all barriers and constraints, and again, you've traveled, you've recently traveled, you're seeing things internally, you have a great family dynamic that's going extremely well. But if you could remove all barriers and constraints, what project would you do and why? And what's the biggest surprise you've had in business or life and why? So there's two sort of questions in that.
Yeah, so look, if there was no barriers, I'd, no, I don't know, whatever, no constraints or whatever, like, and to get to the core of it, I'd love to help people in poorer, low economic sort of countries get a start in some sort of business. Just, because everyone, there's a percentage of people everywhere in the world that have got a business mind and have that sort of desire, but not everyone has the opportunity that we have here in Australia. So it would be really good to be involved in, I know there's organizations out there that will, offer sort of loans and coaching and those sort of things just to help people get something up and running that would have, lifelong generational impact on their families. That's what I'd be doing if I, And I suppose, the next question will be is, why aren't you getting involved now? It's like, well, that's a good question for me internally to actually grapple with. So I mean, as far as surprises in business or life, like, you know, I suppose a surprise is to me that how much you can achieve when you get focused and commit to a journey.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so I suppose, you know, I could never believe that we could, you know, have this business as it is today, doing what we're doing today. But all of that has only come about because I've been committed to the journey and got focused on what needs to be done. So, you know, I think that's, you know, I suppose when I was 17, I thought, oh yeah, you'll start a business and boom, it all just happens. But obviously that doesn't. So that's why I suppose in a way it was a surprise, but also a surprise at how much you can achieve, the possibilities. Small business ownership, you know, some say you might have to go and become a lawyer to earn some money, but the reality is that there's a lot of small business owners out there doing a lot better than the lawyers out there. So the opportunities that that does provide, yeah, has, you know, I suppose in my old self, it's been a surprise, and now in my new self, I believe it.
Yeah, so cool. One of our strategies we teach is business owner time, and strictly speaking, it's about setting that time aside every week where you are reviewing, you are reflecting, and then you're resetting for the week ahead. So you're constantly in the present. Business owner time. Like, you know, there's many business owners in the world that truly are the best operators or the best employees, or they're constantly so knee deep in the in the doo-doo, they just can't see the line of sight. So we teach that, and we reference it as business owner time. Do you have any secret routines that help you stay, again, progressive, productive, constantly moving the needle forward? What do you have as any specific routines that help you with staying, again, present to the journey and where you are and where you're going, and not uppercutting yourself if you're a little behind, or not doing the Toyota leap of excitement if you're just ahead? So, do you have any secret routines that help you stay productive?
So, I mean, obviously that time to reflect and reset and strategize is really important. So, I mean, obviously a quiet space is good, phone off, no interruptions. You know, if it's in my office, it's office door shut, phone off, so everyone knows not to interrupt when that's the case. One pen and a bit of paper. And normally the question at the top is what if? What if? And then I'll write something. What if I did this? And then it's just a matter of letting the thoughts roll out of your mind, just everything that comes out of your head on the paper. And then, you know, after you finish that process, just picking one, two, or three things there that stand out, and then that's your direction, you know, on that what if. You know, what if I hired someone else? You know, what if we were able to get X amount more business? Or what if, you know, we bought that machine? Or, you know, what if I actually looked into certain statistics in the business as far as our conversion rates? You know, what could be a result of that if I knew that? Just, it could be any what if, but it's a matter of just asking what if.
Yeah, no, I resonate with that, and that again, you know, the that still quiet room, the basics of a pen and a piece of paper, and ensuring that you're doing a let's call it a stock take at the end of that process to highlight or perhaps further enhance anything that certainly stands out as something that needs further attention or perhaps further focus. And I mean, that's a great routine that you just shared there. And how often are you doing that, Matthew, just out of interest?
Yeah, that's, well, once a week. So I have my day once a week where Thursday mornings when that happens.
Mate, well done. And just out of curiosity, and for our audience here, what do you do with those loose pieces of paper? Do you, once you've taken out the three, do they go into a journal, or do you put them in a diarized folder? What are you doing with that loose piece of paper that you're speaking to in that process?
Yeah, so they're put into a file, like, just sort of in order so that, you know, at different times I can go back and just sort of flick through that and see, you know, have I followed through with those things or haven't I? You know, is there something that I forgot about? Is there loose ends that need to be tidied up? Things like that. It's good to reflect also on, you know, the achievements. You look back, oh yeah, actually that thing we're doing now, that was a what if back then. And now we're seeing some results from it. So it's good just to be able to look at the source of where these things come from as well.
Yeah, and going back to that resilience conversation we're having right at the start of this catch up, it was it's the beaten track. You know, when you look at something today that was realistically an idea a year ago or 2 years ago, or it was a thought bubble. What if? And you're mind mapping it. You know, you're just truly dumping ideas on a what if, and here it is. It's you've actualized and materialized what was an idea literally a year ago or 2 years ago, or an epiphany 2 years ago. So it is so powerful to do that, to give you that added layer of confidence that, you know, you're not just winging it, you're not just fluking this. It's actually a deliberate journey that you're on. So mate, powerful sharings just there. What's been your biggest failure in the last year? So if you think about 2023, if you think about the last 12 months, if you think about the 12 months before that, and maybe the 12 months coming, right? What's been your biggest failure in the last 12 months? And why do you think that happened if you were to reflect on that today?
Yeah, so I mean, definitely our biggest failure is that we've ended up with probably too many staff for our revenue level. So, you know, our employment cost to revenue ratio has got all out of whack, which has come as a result of, you know, our sales haven't grown. They've grown, but they haven't grown to the level we were expecting, predicting. So that's also a result of, you know, my failure to really monitor that ratio of employment costs to revenue. So unfortunately, you know, as a result of that, you've got to correct things, and we've had to let some staff go, which is really difficult because they've been great staff and they're, you know, small business, they're like family. But that's on me for taking my eye off the actual numbers that needed to happen to support those extra hires and things like that. So it was probably I started to chase the butterfly a little bit, and now I've been fly swatted.
Yeah, interesting. So, you know, my thoughts on what you just said, which made power to you and the courage it takes to share that in a room or a conversation like this. Power to you, mate. Huge integrity in you owning or putting your hand up on that. And in fairness, you know, what we say here at Business Benchmark Group, which is what makes us different, is words are good and stories are great, but the numbers never lie. The numbers never lie. And keeping your focus and attention on some, you know, the critical drivers that are there for us in every business to not only understand them, but champion them, right? Like, you know, the numbers never lie. And, you know, sometimes we don't pull a lever, Matthew. We don't pull a lever. We are sometimes blinded for the lever we need to pull, or we're in denial. No, she'll be right. We'll be right. Or, you know, just whatever happens and things happen, right? You get to a point where you can continue to fix something that at this point has gone a little further than it should, and you've got to correct it, right? So there is some tough love needed when you need to correct something.
Yeah.
Not burning a bridge is important, right? So ultimately putting your head up and saying, hang on, we should have picked this up 3 months ago or 6 months ago or fixed it 3 days ago, and we didn't. And now if we don't fix it now, we'll be in true dead water in a week or 2 weeks or 6 months' time or in a year's time is worse. So the fact that you put your hand up and you've discussed it the way you just have here, power to you and kudos to you. And the key is don't burn bridges. If people on your team have had a good journey and for whatever reason, we just need a correction, as long as that's communicated with empathy and helping people bridge a gap between perhaps leaving a job and finding another job, which are all the things that we can do if we've truly made a bit of a boo-boo. But don't let that impact where you're going next. Don't let that is, in my opinion, a learning, right? And being a leader of a business that works with hundreds of business owners across, you know, the region and have been for over 30 years, and also a leader of my own team and my own business, sometimes you don't get it right. And it's worse to stay in denial about not getting it right versus the hard and bitter pill of correct the mistake, fix the mistake, don't burn bridges, get to a point in the near future where everyone that you let go of is absolutely invited to come back in. So, you know, there's merit in what you just shared, and thank you, because I didn't see that coming, in how you just delivered that. Well done. And for everyone else listening to this podcast right now, Matthew Adams, Tradie Wraps, don't aim for perfection. Not every decision you make will be perfect. And you need to be absolutely on board with and absolutely committed to understanding your numbers. You know, every decision you make as an owner will lead to an activity. Every one of those activities will lead to a number. You must understand your numbers. And you don't need to be an accountant or a bookkeeper, but you absolutely need to know the impact of every decision you've made or didn't make. Because even if you don't make a decision, you've made a decision. So thank you for putting that in the space, Matthew. What makes you feel inspired or like about your best self, Matthew? What makes you feel inspired or like about your best self?
Well, I really love achieving success in a team environment. And, you know, I love working with people, and succeeding together just makes me feel inspired. And that, you know, that's where I feel like I'm my best self, when I'm working in a team.
So you like to share success versus it's all mine, as it relates to, you know, it's a team approach versus an individual approach. Yeah, really cool. If you could have a dinner party with just three people, dead or alive, who would they be and why did you choose them?
Yeah, so I did want to say, you know, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Hillary Clinton, but I figured that I'd probably be a bit of a spectator at that party. I've chosen a guy called Brian Scudamore. He is the founder of 1-300 Got Junk, right? So he started that business as a 19-year-old. It's like worth billions of dollars. He's the biggest junk business in the world. And like, as a small business owner, that this guy has built like this just unbelievable business just from collecting junk. You know, they're from Canada, they're in the US, they're now in Australia. You hear their ads just point and the junk's gone. That's his thing. And, you know, he's just so inspiring that, you know, that, you know, almost uneducated young guy could start that business, and, you know, in 20, 25 years, he's got it to be the size that it is and operating in the way that it does. It just blows my mind. And I'd love just to get in his head a little bit and just be in the same room as him. The other one is a guy by the name of Roy Williams. He's the wizard of ads, right? So he's an American guy, and he's just got such a, I don't know, like a fresh perspective on how to advertise. He's mostly into radio advertising, but just the way that you market your business, as in, you know, you're marketing who you are, not flashy sales and this and that. It's about who you are as a business person. And so I'd love to have the opportunity of him to join me at that dinner. And just a bit of an oddball one, considering the other two, is I think his name was General, was it Stockdale, the Stockdale Paradox?
Absolutely.
You know, he was a guy that was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, and he had a particular attitude that got him through. That was, this is the resilience thing. And the basic core of that was that he never thought, I'm going to get out at Christmas, or I'm going to get out in a week. He just thought, today I'm one day closer to getting out. And just that attitude got him through, whereas others, you know, just couldn't handle it. And so I think he would be a really interesting guy to sort of pick the brain of, and you know, just get some of the insights into into how he actually managed to do that.
That is an awesome dinner party, mate. I want to be there too. That is a phenomenal threesome you just rallied out there, mate. So cool. So cool. And thank you for expanding on why you chose it the way you did. So so cool. So there's some names there that I've certainly taken note of and am certainly very curious. If I can help you unwind three financial decisions in your life, how much more money would you have right now, Matthew?
Oh, well, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah, I think, you know, that someone well known, you know, wrote a book that was talking about making, you know, it's the dumb decisions that you make that cost you the money. Yeah, it's just, I mean, obviously every bad idea starts out as a good idea. And I think we can all put our hand up and say that if we could unwind three decisions, that we'd all be much better off. But, you know, I suppose that's life and learning, isn't it?
And the important thing to that question is own that you will be richer, man. Just own it, right? Yeah. Just own that, you know, of course you'll be richer and you are richer by the fact that you own that, right?
Yeah, sure.
So cool. Hey, what are your views on personal development? Should you invest and does it fast track success? What are your views on that?
Yeah, well, I think definitely I think you should invest in personal development. I mean, that's the only, you know, it's the main way that you can grow from learning from others. As far as fast tracking, well, I think it'll be quicker than if you don't do any personal development, but you do need to be in it for the long haul. You know, you can go to a, you know, motivational speaker and get all pumped up and call that personal development, but is it really? It's going to last about 5 minutes, or you can do something that actually puts into practice, you know, the habits and the learnings that will happen over time, which will make you a better person and better business owner as well. So I think it's a long haul thing, but it definitely will do it quicker than if you don't.
Yeah, cool. And final question, Matthew, what is the best advice you've ever been given and why do you reflect on that?
Yeah, well, it's advice, but it's also a bit of observation that regardless of what sort of hole you get yourself into, there's always an opportunity to turn your life around and be successful. You know, I've seen, you know, even my own dad got himself into a bit of a big business hole back in the day, and you know, now he's retired, he's comfortable, he's living a good life. And you know, back then you could have looked at it and gone, well, this is it, you know, we're stuffed. But you know, but you can with it, you know, sometimes a lot of hard work, but with the right attitude, you can get out of that hole and you can get going. So it's never lost. You can always bounce back and make something of a situation or something of your whole life, regardless of where you find yourself.
Yeah, amazing. So good having you here, Matthew. Thanks for all those insights and sharings and thought-provoking conversation that we just had. And Matthew Adams, the phenomenal founder and CEO of Tradie Wraps, a true powerhouse and forerunner in his field. Amazing sharings just then, mate. Truly, truly thankful and grateful for having you here and sharing your pearls of wisdom with our community of Business Benchmark Group. Power to you, and may you have a great rest of the day.
Yeah, thanks, Stefan. I appreciate it.
For more information about Business Benchmark Group's coaching, education, and training programs, visit businessbenchmarkgroup.com.au or call 03-9001-0878. If you liked this podcast, please rate it on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and leave feedback as well. Stefan shares so much value in all his podcasts, and we encourage you to go through the archives and listen to other episodes of the Business Benchmark Group podcast. Thank you for listening.